On this episode of the Trade Busters podcast, we're going to talk about why do we trade? And this is something that I think comes up, especially when people go through rough patches or drawdowns. You know, you spend a lot of time learning options or any kind of trading, but options in particular, it's, you know, there's a high barrier of entry. It's complicated, takes time. Trading takes time. And you know, to go through a period of weeks, months, years without anything to show for it, obviously it's very discouraging, right? And even if you're going to be in trading groups or have people to talk to kind of keep you going at the same time, you can only go so long. Your account can only go so long without some meaningful progress. You know, and if you're going to start asking yourself and double second guessing and kind of what is the, you know, what's the whole point of all this? And why, for instance, do I do this podcast? Why do I make the effort to try and teach retail about trading and strategies? So I thought I would take a minute to kind of lay down my thoughts as far as expectations of what's possible, right? The way I do things, the way I teach things is definitely not the only way. But at the same time, I think with the right, you know, foundational knowledge and the right expectations, there's definitely a pathway to success that is open. So, you know, it was interesting because I was listening to an episode earlier of Truth or Skepticism, which is Tom Sosnoff's podcast with Dylan Radigan. And, you know, Tom is this guy who's always trying to say trading and learning to trade is about decision making, right? It's about taking control of your own finances. And he always talks about how, you know, there's this line, no one knows anything, right? Nobody knows, no one can predict the future, no one can guess and predict where the market's gonna go. And he always kind of makes this point about how all these big shot fund managers or pundits, you know, they talk a big game, but no one really knows anything. And you know, the whole efficient market hypothesis. And I'm on board with all that. And so his point was, if no one knows anything, then why should you, you know, give your money to somebody to manage? Why give it to somebody else that doesn't know anything either, right? And obviously that's his whole shtick and his whole gig about trying to learn to make decisions for yourself. Now, that sounds nice and all, but again, we come back to, if you don't make money at the end of the day and have nothing to show for it, right? This idea of education and self-improvement, those are all good things. It's good to learn about finance. It's good to broaden your horizons. But if you don't have anything to show for it, then at the end of the day, like, what's the point? You know, so obviously you have to have some semblance of expectation of success. And, you know, and this comes down to the whole thing about conviction. And so when we talk about these concepts I've taught in the podcast and the strategies, what is the possibilities? So one way to approach this is I want to kind of revisit this four quadrant model that I talked about on episode 107 when I was a guest on the Matt Kors show. So if you haven't already, you should go back and check that out, episode 107. And it's towards the end. I think it's like the last question or the second to last. And he kind of asked me about like, what should new traders think about or the expectations and how do we approach things? So I talked about this idea of, you know, since I'm a big, you know, proponent of return on time, right? Because time is an important aspect. There's two variables you can think about. How much time / effort you put into trading. And then there is the variable of how much profit, progress, reward, right, you get out of it. And so if you cross these two, you know, effort low to high, reward from low to high, there's basically going to be four quadrants. And on the one hand, there is low time, low reward. And this is basically, I made the analogy to passive investing, right? If you passively invest, you invest in the stock market, you spend no effort, no time. You just buy, close your eyes, hope for the best, 20 years later, see what's there. But, you know, and this can work, right? The stock market has been shown to have a, you know, positively, you know, there's a positive expectation over a long period of time. But as you know, there's volatility and drawdowns. If you look at the the CAGR to max drawdown, right? The market could have 50-60% drawdown, and then CAGR something like 7-9% over time, depending on the time frame, right? So, and we talk about MAR ratio when we trade, right? The CAGR over the max drawdown, right? It's horrible. So that's on the one end of the spectrum. And if you just want to kind of close your eyes and don't think about anything, sure, you can do that. And people who have, you know, busy jobs, right? They don't have time to learn and trade and sim from the screen, right? That's perfectly fine. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, right? So we start with low time, low reward. Now there's high time, high reward. I made a mention on Matt's show that I think this is where people aspire to, but they don't really know what it takes, right? You think you want to be a full-time, super successful trader, and it sounds great, this idea of being your own boss and working where you want to, trading on the beach, I don't know, all those kind of, all those stereotypes, right? But it actually does take a lot of time, and it's very hard. The chance of success is very low. And so what happens is people often, I think, shoot for this side of the quadrant, right? They want to, and they do take it seriously, right? It's not like they're playing around. But again, the chance of success is low. And so what happens is you end up, you're aiming for the high time, high reward, but you land in the wrong quadrant. You end up in what I call the high time, low reward, which is you spend all this effort and you make nothing, or worst case, you blow up, right? You lose your whole account. And so that's negative reward. And so obviously this experience, you can basically just end up quitting, right? And that's kind of the worst case. And out of all of the people who try to take on trading or learn about investing, unfortunately, that's probably what happens a lot of time. And then they quit, and then they go back into the low time, low reward and just do passive investing. So the last one is, the one we haven't talked about is the low time, high reward. Now, obviously on the onset, this kind of sounds too good to be true, right? Why should I be able to spend minimal effort or low effort and have high reward? So a couple of things. When I talk about low time, you know, we're talking about low time spent. So what that's missing from the picture is that you may spend kind of a lot of time learning, right? And that's okay. Why should you expect to get reward from anything without putting some effort, right? So obviously there's going to be time spent kind of on the educational component, but at least something like educating yourself, you can do that, what I call asynchronously, right? You can learn that in the after hours, you know, at the end of the day, reading a book, watching a video, whatever it is. It doesn't require you to have kind of full in front of the screen, live trading intensity, taking away from, you know, your day job or whatever. Now, the other point is high reward is relative, right? Because if you spend a lot of time, then you're going to expect, or you're going to want a lot of reward. You want to be rewarded for the time spent. But if you don't have to spend that much effort, right? And I'm talking about kind of implementing trades, or you've heard about in the past, I do what's called low touch strategies where, you know, it doesn't take a lot of management, right? All of the effort's really an understanding. So if it's something where it doesn't have you take that much time to execute, then it might be more okay to be like, okay, well, I'm not going to get rich overnight, right? This is not about doubling money, 10xing your money. This is just about doing something where I have positive expectancy and I can expect to have some gain from it. We'll talk about kind of the percentage and stuff a little bit. But again, it's the point is relative, right? So if you can bring something where the effort is low, then whether or not the reward is high is, again, a matter of perspective. So when we talk about reward and expectations and why do we trade, you know, at the end of the day, everybody wants to make money, right? But then there's also this focus on kind of beating the market, right? Because if I can just buy and hold, I can make X. If I can't even quote unquote beat the market, then why bother, right? And then of course, it comes down to, well, there's the beating the market on an absolute basis and a risk-adjusted basis. Absolute basis just means, okay, the market's up 10%, regardless of the volatility. You want to be more than 10%, regardless of the volatility. And risk-adjusted basis means the market is up 10% over time, but there's, you know, 50% drawdowns and the MAR ratio is really bad. Well, if you can be up 5, 6, 7% with very low volatility, then on a risk-adjusted basis, right, you have a higher Sharpe ratio, you're making more return. Now, some people are okay with that, right? You know, high net worth individuals, you know, they just want a return that's steady and consistent, and they don't necessarily care about that hyper growth. But at the same time, you might, you know, if you're early in your life or your trading career, your time horizon, you want the high return, right? You might be okay with volatility. So you want to beat the market on an absolute basis, right? And I really believe we can make better returns than the market, not only on an absolute basis, but also on a risk-adjusted basis. And then it comes back to why, like, where's the edge? Why is this possible? And so, you know, if you have been listening up until this point and have been following the strategies, I think you can see that generally these short vol strategies, Data Engine, EARN, they are positive expectancy, right? The numbers play out. You know, we talk about the win rate, the win size, the loss size, and they're positive expectancy. And right, you know, if you can really get behind that and have conviction, it's really just a matter of like how big, right? How much do I want to make? And so I think this is where a little bit of nuance comes in, because at the end of the day, you always have to think of your mind, the back of your mind, kind of black swan risk. And I talked about volatility tax. And I'll give you a simple example. You know, if I can trade EARN at a 1x notional size and make 5 to 10% a year, which is great. It's not, you know, going to make you rich, but, and I've always said that, like, how much you want to make is just a function of the size, right? So why don't I trade it at 2x notional or 3x notional or 4x notional and aim for 20 to 40%, right? This probably can work most of the time. But the problem is, if that black swan ever happens, right, and if you have a huge drawdown, 30, 40, 50, 60%, right? We've talked about the idea of volatility tax, which is it's going to take you that much more of a gain to come back, right? So there is kind of a limiting factor, right? Even if there is an edge, even if it's positive expectancy, trading too big can erode that edge. And I think some people don't realize this, or maybe they do, but they're kind of impatient. Like, if you want to trade and make money, make it worth the effort, you want to go big, right? And so people might see a strategy like Theta Engine or EARN, especially after a good year, and think, okay, I will just trade this big, right? The probability, the win rate's high, the drawdowns look low, right? And then they kind of don't see, right? There's unknown unknown. So they size it up big, and maybe they're making 20, 30, 40%. And then one day a big loss happens, or the black swan happens, and you get wiped out. And you're back to square zero. And sometimes this gets conflated with the strategy not working, right? Because you see these people who maybe they're doing really well and then they blow up. And that's where all these memes, well, not the memes, but like the stereotypes of the pennies in front of the steamroller or works until it doesn't. Those are all true because oftentimes of size, right? Volatility tax and this idea that trading too big and blowing up can really set you back. That gets mistaken with this strategy doesn't work or this strategy has no edge. So for one, if you can set, you know, moderate, reasonable expectations, I think there are strategies that can be done that are consistent that you can make money. So barring that, like, what is kind of reasonable, right? And a lot of it has to do with your risk tolerance. But a lot of it has to do with if you do the research and you're doing different strategies and, you know, if you haven't, you should listen to my episode on the Chimera Lab, the strategy combiner, right? And you can take different strategies, you know, and I've talked about the fact that if you have different uncorrelated strategies or lower correlation, you can afford to kind of take a little more risk, push the pedal a little harder and go for some bigger gains. And that's kind of a more advanced, I guess. But when it comes down to it, I think if you're only trying to make 12, 15, 20%, I really think it's not far-fetched. Now, you might think like, okay, well, 15% isn't that all that much, right? You hear about people who make like hundreds or thousands of percent. And I'm not saying that that's not possible or that's nothing to strive for, but it's just different, right? And I think all the things that I've been doing with this podcast, I feel like I'm kind of trying to promote the slow and steady, something where you can do on the side. In addition, you don't have to quit your day job, right? This isn't about quitting the job and going to trade on the beach. If you can do your day job or whatever it is you're doing and, you know, spend a few minutes a day adjusting your positions, putting on a trade here, making some adjustments there, and in the background, you're compounding your account, you know, 10, 15, whatever percent, you know, after 10, 15, 20 years, that's going to be very significant, right? And we've just said that, okay, buy and hold, you can spend no effort and it's going to make money, sure, but it's going to be crazy drawdowns and it's going to be times where, you know, you're freaking out when it's like another 2008 or 2020. And then it's just, I do truly believe that there is, you know, edge and you can generate alpha using kind of more simple strategies. And it's just a matter of sizing and setting the expectations. And that's what I truly believe, right? And so if you wanted to kind of take these ideas and take all these spreadsheets and build out a fancy portfolio and do the whole thing, you know, combining the trend following ETFs and combining Theta Engine and Earn, I think you can do something pretty spectacular. But if you want to just do something simple like buy T-bills and trade a little bit of Earn, trading a little bit of Theta Engine, those kind of things do not have to take a lot of time. And, you know, 10-15%, that is beating the market, right? Both, again, like we said, the market might be, depending on what period of time, obviously there's the bull market years where it's up like 25% or 30% or whatever, but then there's, you know, 2022 where you lost a fifth, right? Or QQQ, you lost a third. That set you back years, right? So if you can be kind of minimal effort, hopefully lower stress, and then just kind of compound that 15, 10, 12, you know, and even 20 is kind of high. Obviously, it depends on the skill level, the amount of dedication, and how good you are with risk management. But I'm just saying, like, I truly believe you can do meaningful compounding. And so what it takes really is obviously the motivation to learn, right? Options. You know, people ask, like, if this is so easy, why doesn't everyone do it? Why don't all the hedge fund managers do it or whatever? So, no, this is not easy, right? The fact that I can kind of break a strategy down and teach it, like, okay, sell a 15 delta put, right? This is a Theta Engine, 90 DTE, set a stop loss, set a profit take. And I can kind of lay it out in like 1, 2, 3 easy steps. That doesn't mean making money is easy, right? There's still the idea of learning and having the conviction. What's hard is getting the conviction, understanding the strategy, understanding the math, and having the confidence to keep pulling the trigger, right? I rode Theta Engine all the way down from January to October of, you know, 2022, back to back to back, 3 book wipes in a row. And then from that point on to April, May of 2023, you know, 180 some winners in a row. Like, it didn't just start out the gate and I'm making on winners. Like, there was a long drawdown, right? But I understood the strategy, I did the testing, and I kind of, it was all within expectations, and I had that conviction. So having the conviction, that's the hard part. And so putting in the time to learn and to give yourself the confidence, that's what it takes. And then really patience, because it's not fast. People can say, okay, I look at my 401k once a year, whatever, right? Oh, I'm up 10%. Oh, I'm up 15%. Oh, I'm down this year. That is, you know, the ultimate no time spent. Now, even if we're trading the strategies that are low touch, right? 1 minute a day, 2 minutes a day, you're still going to be engaged because you have to look at it. You have to be aware of the P&L. So if you're going through a drawdown, you're going to feel, you know, Theta Engine in 2022, that kind of drip, 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 red day after red day. So, no, it's not easy, but it's very doable. It's not far-fetched. There is like an end goal in sight, right? So, you know, when you ask, why am I doing this? Well, first of all, figure out what you want, right? I think if I could compound 10, 15% a year with, you know, minimal drawdowns or MAR ratio of one, which for example would be, you know, 15% CAGR with a max 10, 15% drawdown, right? Now that may change, but you know, that's kind of something, okay, you have some goalposts, then you can kind of look at the strategies, use the tools I've set forth to kind of figure out the sizing, set the expectations, and then you have kind of step-by-step process to follow. And following those steps, you will not believe how hard it is, because when things don't go right, you do everything, you're going to basically sabotage yourself. You're going to, what if I do this? What if I do that? Right? Or if I skip this day and you start doing, okay, what if I test and I only enter on red days, or if I only enter on the momentum crossover, whichever it is, it's so easy to go off track. All right. So I'm kind of just like laying out all this context and saying like, yes, I really believe it's possible to have meaningful, consistent success, but there's a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of things that will cause you to kind of like veer off the beaten path. And hopefully kind of being aware of some of these will help you, you know? But anyways, I think that's kind of the thoughts I had. Shout out to, it was one of the members in our Discord who kind of suggested I do this episode. I had been thinking about it for a while just because of the way the year's gone, for some strategies and some of the troubles that, you know, people have with different strategies in this year in particular. And so there's always this idea of like, why are we doing this? Why are we spending the time? Like, what's the point of all this? And I know the whole, I don't like when people are like, well, you could just buy and hold QQQ and you would have been up whatever, 30, 40%. Obviously there's a drawdown now, but it's just like, why do that? You know? So anyways, I hope that this kind of gives some context and, hopefully it's encouraging to like let you know that I think there is a path forward if you do choose to go on this journey. So let's leave it there for today. As always, if you guys enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can also visit my trading page at www.thetradebuster.com, where you will find all the strategy mechanics and trade logs, as well as various essays I have written and other podcasts I recommend. Finally, you can follow me on Twitter at TheTradeBuster. That's it for today. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you guys next time.